All right, it's about 5:32. We'll go ahead and get started tonight. This is Rochelle Wilhite, the designated broker for Best Choice Realty. We are on conference call number 12, the last one in the sequence, which is also should be the first one in the sequence because we're going to be talking about ratings, reviews, and getting referrals, starting the cycle all over again next Monday with conference call number 1. Tonight we're going to be going over an overview of what ratings and reviews are really all about. And how reliable are the ratings and reviews. And then we're going to spend the rest of the call talking about referrals and some of the things that you may want to consider as you're building your business. So we're going to start with the ratings and reviews. And as a housekeeping item, we're just going to go ahead until 6 o'clock. And if you have questions along the way, you can go ahead and email me at Rochelle, R-A-C-H-E-L-L-E, at bestchoicerealtywa.com. Or if it's a quick question, you can text me at 206-947-0811, and I'll respond in that fashion tonight after the call. So ratings and reviews, an overview of what ratings and reviews are all about. Some agents have never been properly trained as to why. Why have reviews online? Why should they ask their clients to rate them or give them stars? And there's been a big push in the last 3 to 5 years to have real estate agents be rated. And that's because of companies like Zillow and also associations and realtor associations like in Texas. They were one of the first big organizations in Texas to launch where they rated and reviewed all of the real estate agents in the Houston area. The Houston Association of Realtors owns the MLS, and so every transaction that they log in Houston, for the most part, they are asking the clients to rate or review their agents. And so that trend spread like wildfire across the nation. Places like Yelp and Amazon and other companies also started to review products or services. And it started to become a very, very big piece of online exposure for real estate brokers. So if we highly recommend that we have reviews on your profiles, if you have a profile that Eric has created for you, we highly recommend that you go ahead and add some additional testimonials or some reviews or ratings. You can take them from Zillow or you can take them from some other places, which I'll give you some other ways that you can build that up. By not going to Zillow, if that's what you choose. But the importance is to build your online profile so that when a client is going to be interviewing or trying to find out how successful their agent would appear, a lot of them go right to the web, and they just do a Google search, or they search for your name, and they locate you online by doing that. And if you have an online website, like you, most of you do, or you're utilizing companies like Zillow, it is essential that you have ratings and reviews. We don't even recommend you paying for Zillow and buying leads unless you have at least 5 reviews or 5 ratings. It's very important that you do. Most people that are paying for Zillow and buying advertising in that type of way to generate leads, they're having on average about 10 to 11 reviews before they're actually paying money to Zillow. So it really helps your image, and it does help to have fresh reviews from clients that you're working with. So we're going to talk about why reviews. So I kind of alluded to that. Amazon started rating products. Angie's List was a newer company that started. And they started rating providers like roofers and contractors. You may have gone on and looked at different providers. And before you hire somebody, you may want to find out, you know, what other people are saying about them. Or before you go to a restaurant, you may go onto Yelp and you may decide that you want to look and see about the reviews and make a decision on where you want to go out to eat. So much like those types of companies, they're ratings and reviews are what some people make a decision on, especially the millennials, people that are born under, you know, age 30 and under. Those would be your millennials, and they're going online, and they're making all of their decisions based on the ratings and reviews. So The next question that I often ask in this conference call setting is, when should you ask your clients to do a review for you? And the answer is actually very simple. At any point in time, you could ask a client to rate or review you. In fact, I ask all my new agents that are new to the business to work on trying to obtain 3 reviews in your first 30 days. And that can be from people that you're just talking with about real estate or clients you're showing property to. It's good to get some background information or feedback. I call it feedback. Would you mind providing me with some feedback about how my service was when we went and looked at properties this weekend? That would be how, as a new agent, I built my online presence and online profiles by just asking some of those clients who worked with me in a professional setting to review my services. So when you're working with the client, that is actually the best time to ask them for a rating or review, or to set them up that, hey, at the end of the transaction, my company is going to send a review, and if you wouldn't mind taking a moment to fill that out, I'd really appreciate it. That type of heads up, if you will, is pretty important when working with a client so that they're not surprised at the very end and they have to review you. Most clients are very happy with your services along the way, so why not ask for it earlier? Maybe you waited too long. Maybe you waited till the end of the transaction to ask for the review, and you have a hard time because they've moved and they are got boxing and they're unpacking. It's not as an ideal time to ask them for a review than to ask them during the transaction or when you're working with them. So when could be any time to ask for a rating or review. How would you do it? That's the next question. How would you ask for a client to rate or review you? Simply just at the first appointment, talking about your services and what you provide to them. You could send them an email. I always did an email. I hope you're having an awesome, day today. I have a huge favor to ask of you. This is word for word what I send to some of my clients. I'm looking to build my business, and my business is largely built on the kind of friendship and online support I have received from my past network who have given me high marks or connected me with others in similar lines of work. In my recent efforts, I found potential realtors and vendors are using websites to connect or screen brokers. I'd love to have a recommendation from you on my leadership or how I was as a real estate broker or feedback on my strengths or personality. If you could take a few minutes and post a personal recommendation for me, I will gladly return the favor to you, period. And I wrote that in an email, and that email was sent out to my clients maybe after the meeting. Maybe it was a client I interacted with 6-7 months ago, and I just hadn't asked or hadn't received a review from them. That was a good, favorable, I got a lot of responses. I on LinkedIn, for example, I wanted to have at least 10 or 15 people to review me on LinkedIn, and I just sent them all a message that sounded something like that. And that worked really well. Also, you could take a different spin on it. And on Zillow, it's worked for me. I've used many different variations of that email and sent that to my clients, and they have responded favorably. So, again, if you have trouble on how to do it, you may want to ask the other agents how they got their reviews. And they'll simply, here's what I did, or here's how I said it, or here's what my script I used, or here's the email I sent out. But how to do it is not so hard as when to do it or who to do it. Everyone should be reviewing you, but not everybody does. Not everybody takes the time to do that. The people that will review you are typically your most loyal customers or loyal clients, and those are the people who refer business to you as well. So ask everyone, so the who question, who do you send these requests to or who do you ask to rate or review you? Ask everyone. Even if they weren't completely satisfied or you had some bumps in the road, that often shows online. I had a score of a 4.1, I think, or even a 4 from a client that I didn't really sell something to him. He was just reviewing my website, and he gave me a 4 on Facebook. And actually that negative or that 4-star rather than a 5-star actually helped give people, showed that it was real, that I was a real human being, that there wasn't 100% satisfaction, and it was realistic. So asking everyone to review, even if you haven't had, you know, you've had some bumps in the road or the transaction didn't go as smooth as you had anticipated or expected, it still is good to have them rate you and review your services. Now, obviously, if there's somebody that, I mean, hates your guts and is going to really do damage online, you know, that might be where you don't want to. But for the most part, 99% of the time, I've asked everyone to rate or review my service, and they've responded favorably. Or, you know, maybe I get a 4-star. I don't get a 5-star. But it actually shows the consumers, the other consumers that are online searching, that I'm human and that, you know, not everybody is going to be 100% satisfied. I don't know if you've gone on to Yelp, but I've gone on to Yelp when I'm looking for a restaurant, and, you know, I've actually gone to a restaurant where somebody was not completely satisfied, but you read their review and you're thinking, this guy's kind of a weirdo. You know, he's not really somebody that I could trust or a reliable review of this particular restaurant. So you can read through the line sometimes, and that's what consumers will do. They will look and they'll review and they'll read and they'll make a decision based on whether they that sounds like somebody they would want to work with. You also should, when somebody reviews you, there are some places, depends on the type of system that they're reviewing you on, like Zillow, for example, they give you an opportunity to respond to a review. I respond to all the reviews that were on Zillow when I was selling. So if somebody said, Rochelle did an awesome job, she answered all our questions, she was amazing to work with, there was an example of when she worked until 10 o'clock that night to help us in getting our property. It was a favorable review. Even a favorable review, I responded and said, it was such a pleasure to work with you. Your husband and wife were delightful. We found a property that was just so exciting, you know, because it met all your needs. By responding to the reviews, it also shows how you communicate with clients, and it shows how responsive you are to the needs and to the reviews. So if there's an opportunity for you to respond to a review on a web or a blog or a portal like Zillow, go ahead and do that. I recommend it. The other place is, where should you go to get these ratings and reviews? And that is a big question. I've gone back and forth and trying to decide how I want to or where I should have my ratings and reviews show up. And I've diversified all of my reviews and ratings, and that may not have been the best thing, and I would advise that for somebody like, let's see, I'll use Cheryl as an example. Cheryl pays a lot of money to Zillow, and so her best place where she wants those reviews to go would be onto Zillow because she pays a lot of advertising dollars every month. So she wouldn't want to have the same strategy that I have of diversifying across all these different portals. She would want us to probably ask most of her clients to go onto Zillow and rate and review her so she could build her amount of reviews and ratings so that her 5 has turned into 10 and her 10 reviews have turned into 20 so that many consumers can read through her Zillow because she's spending a lot of money and time and energy into that portal. There was Trulia at one time, and now Trulia was acquired by Zillow. So if you're have reviews on Trulia, you should be able to move them over to Zillow pretty easily. If you have trouble, you can contact their tech department, and they can work on getting those merged over. At one point, I was not a Zillow fan. I'll be honest. There was times where I've had a love-hate relationship with the company, and so I have switched, and that's when I started investigating some other review websites, such as Facebook and LinkedIn, my own website, and another company called Reach 150. It's spelled R-E-A-C-H, the number 150. And that company allowed you to own your own review site, and so that I wasn't having to have my clients go in and sign into Zillow in order to review me. I could send them a link for my Reach 150 website, and they would go ahead and review and place the reviews. They will do 3 reviews for free. So if you want to try them out, you can go to reach150.com, and you can have 3 reviews posted in that website or that portal. And that also can be, those same reviews could be also posted on your own personal website, and Eric can help you do that. So if you start to gather reviews in that type of way, you don't want to go to Zillow, there are other websites that will, portals that will allow you, your clients, easy access to go in there and review you in a very simple way. They also have like a little badge you can use on your signature for Reach 150. So it's an easy way for them to review you by clicking this link. And then that's a way you get to get credit and you store all that data rather than having Zillow store it for you. So some people, some agents, some brokers have decided they don't want to play with Zillow and they go with Reach 150. It's probably the most used review website out there. But past 3 reviews, then they charge you $19 a month for those reviews to be posted in server and all of that stuff that they maintain. So again, that's a cost that sometimes you don't have to incur if you have it on your website. So as you start to grow your reviews and ratings, you can certainly email Eric, my husband, E-R-I-C, at bestchoicerealtywa.com, and he'll go ahead and add those testimonials or reviews on your website for you. And that's a simple just email him and he'll post it for you. So LinkedIn, they have a website, they have a way to review or endorse, as they call. That's also very helpful in the LinkedIn world of resumes and find people and search engine optimization. LinkedIn is also very, very good. You also have a Facebook account, either, and it's a business. The business account allows you to rate the business or rate your business page. And that's, as long as a client has access to Facebook, which probably I would say at this point in time, 85% of your clients are probably on Facebook somewhere. And in that regard, they wouldn't have to go to a third-party website like Zillow and sign into them. They would just be going in through their Facebook account, finding your business page, and either liking it or providing you with a review. Very easy to do without having to create another account. So how reliable are these types of ratings and reviews when looking at these different third parties like Zillow, Reach 150, your website, LinkedIn, Facebook? Fairly reliable. Those are the main ones that most real estate agents use that help you get more organic traffic to your website, but also helps build your branding and your credibility. So think about that. There are some other things you could look at doing. There's called the five-star professional that may add some credibility or branding to your profile. But you want to look at ways to improve your image online, and what better way to do that than having ratings and reviews. Okay, as we go into referrals, you want to approach referrals as a way to network and to really create a strategic relationship that will yield you more referrals or a better return on your investment. We had briefly talked about Zillow and people paying money to buy leads, and there are other websites out there that where you pay a lot of money to acquire leads or online leads that come in through a website. It's expensive. It's become even more expensive every year that we go forward. So referrals are less expensive, and it's a very good way to build your business the right way, and a business that will, outperform Zillow and some of these other companies. It is a good chunk of your business and should be for the remainder of your life as a real estate broker. You want to treat your business like a concierge service so that you are giving and receiving. So when somebody gives you a referral, you make sure that you treat them with respect and you thank them and follow up with that person giving that referral and treat it like a concierge service where you give back to them or their communities or their business, or you send them a token of your appreciation, either it was a small, simple note in the mail or a small gift card just appreciating the referral. That is how you build your business, through the strategic relationship networking activity. You want your referral business to be very proactive and strategic. You want to really target the groups and focus not on just getting them, as a client, but focusing more on the relationship with that particular person. When I talk about being strategic and being proactive, I come up with, there are five bullet points I want to go over really quickly with you. And you may want to write this down because I cover them fairly quickly on this call. Number one, when you're wanting to come up with a referral program where you're paying a lot of money for lead generation, or you're not going online and trying to drum up business that way or seeing open houses, you're basically coming up with a referral program. You want to think about it very strategic, and you want to come up with, number one, this is the first bullet point or the tip, what's your plan? What is the plan? What is your goal? For me, when I left the other firm I was working for, where most of the business was coming from the company, I wanted to change my business to being a referral business, and I wanted 80% of my business to be referrals or word of mouth. So I wrote that down. Number one, as I wrote on my goal is to have 80% of my business come from referrals. Now it's 100%. I mean, there's not anything that I do that comes from, well, I'd say 95%. There's still 5% that come in from, a referral source or an agent from my past, you know, life in a different state. That is probably 5% of my business comes from a referral from another agent from another state. But 95% of my business is referrals. It's, you know, somebody saying, hey, I've worked with Rochelle before, and I think you would work well with her. And this is, or my neighbor saying, I wouldn't use anybody else except you. Or it's my family member because it's, you know, the sister-in-law, brother-in-law, that kind of relationship. Those are the type of referrals that I get even to this day. So you approach it very strategically, and you want to, number one, write down what your plan is. Number two, you want to decide who are you targeting. So on your sheet or your notes tonight, write down number two, who are you going to target? There are many people you can target. You could target your friends. You could target your family. You could target your kids' soccer. You could target your alliance partners, like your title and your insurance companies. You could target your community. You could target other agents, like I did in different states. You could target maybe your past clients, maybe your friends, your kids' friends. Maybe it is your social media connections, your friends that are on social media. There's a lot of different options on who are you targeting. So you want to identify who the people are. Who is the list? Make a list of those people. Sit down on a boring Sunday afternoon and just list them all out on who those people are. That part of developing a referral program, sometimes a lot of agents get stuck and they don't move forward past that point. So don't spend a ton of time. Block out an hour and just start listing all the people who you are going to target. And number two. Number three, you got to get to number three. Otherwise, you know, a lot of agents will spin their wheels and never get to the end here. Number three is you want to have an objective. What are you going to do with what's your goal or what's your objective with that group of people that you're targeting? So what is the objective? Number three, what is the objective of those people? What are you going to do with those people? Okay, so let's use my where I live, my neighborhood. So who are you targeting? Number one, I don't have a list of names of all the people in my neighborhood. Who could I get that from? Who am I going to be targeting? So my plan is to have 90% of, number one, I'm going to have 90% of my business come from my neighborhood. Number two, who am I going to be targeting? My neighbors, you know, my street that I live on. My objective would be to have at least one sale in the next 6 months come from that group of people. So that's my objective. And number four, I'm going to talk about how I'm going to do that. But who are you targeting is really important. How do you get the list? Well, you could go onto Realist and you could look up all your neighbors around your surrounding address. You could do that on Realist very easily. Or if you don't have the time to sit there and write down all that information, you could pay the title company $1 for a list, and they'll go ahead and take the address, your home address. And in my case, my plan was to, you know, target my neighborhood. They could go out and find any of my neighbors that are within a quarter mile of my location, and they could provide me with the name, address. Sometimes you'll have phone numbers. For the most part, you will not. And that way I have a good list to work on, okay? So then once I have the list, who are you targeting, my objective, how am I going to get one sale out of all of those? And in the next 6 months, how am I going to get one sale out of all those people? So how will I do it? Well, I could do it different ways. I could personally reach out to them. I could do a neighborhood block party. a summer, end of the year summer get together where we have a barbecue at our house. Again, I'm just brainstorming. So number four, how am I going to get a sale out of that group of people? You're going to need to list several different ways. Maybe I want to do a mailer, you know, to all of those people. So I send a mailing brochure to them in every other month. So I want to list out how am I going to do it. And then the number five, 5, what is my expected return on my investment? How much is it going to cost me, and what is my return? So if I spent $100 a month, you know, for the next 6 months, so it's going to cost me $600, and that would include all my mailings, and then maybe I do a barbecue that's going to run me about $500. So out of $1,100 that I spend on number five, 5, the expected return on my investment, kind of list out the costs of marketing to that group of people, and what I'm hoping to get is one sale. Now, the sale in my area is going to be around $450,000 to $500,000, the properties that are around my neighbors. So if I'm looking at the return on the investment, if I got one sale in 6 months, and that was, do the math right, I think $300,000 is like $9,000. So let's just say, I'm just doing a round number here, let's just say I get a $12,000 commission check. Out of the efforts that I spent of around $1,200, that's a pretty good return on my investment in 6 months. If I plugged in $1,200 to get a return of $12,000, or roughly like $10,500 after the expected return on my investment, I ended up paying about $1,100 for that type of marketing to get one sale. So the last step in the strategic way of prospecting for referrals is then to track and evaluate. How's that going? You know, after 6 months, my goal was to have one sale. Did I get the sale? If I didn't, I need to go back and look at number four, and did I have enough ways of attracting that business? How did my event go, my barbecue? Did I have good attendance there? Maybe I spent too much money on my postcard marketing. Again, you're going to track in the last step and evaluate and make some adjustments, and you may not decide to do that. Maybe you want to go back and you targeted the wrong people. Maybe you want to target something else. But that, in essence, is a strategic way of prospecting for referrals. Number one, what's your plan? Number two, who are you targeting? Number three, what's your objective? Number four, how will you get it done? Just brainstorm a bunch of ideas and put it on paper. Number five, what is the return on the investment? Let's go down the cost and the benefits of actually, you know, going through that. What's number five, expected return on investment? And the last one is to track and evaluate. Number six is to track and evaluate and adjust if necessary. Okay, so that's how you would build a referral or strategic referral plan, and how you build your business better with referrals. Now, how you would build that out, like I said, depends on a lot of different things. I mean, we have agents that spend a lot of time in social media, but they have a very strategic plan. They've come up with how are they going to do it, what is the expected ROI, they track it and evaluate it on a regular basis. They don't go a month without evaluating that source of business. So make sure you're doing that also. There are simple ways that you can also build your referrals and your branding. Your email signature block has got to be attached to all the emails. Eric still gets business just by, you know, he sends people emails from, you know, his climbing community, and they see his signature block all the time that he's a real estate agent. Now, does he talk about real estate all the time? No, but he's very visible when he sends emails. So that would be important to have. Sending appreciation cards, sending periodic text to your client. There's a magazine you can do it for a few dollars a month per magazine. I think it runs about $2.75 or $3 a magazine, but you could send that out to all your close clients. And the clients that I send that out to, my close clients, love that magazine. And they give that to other people and other businesses if they're done reading it. And that has my name and my phone number and my contact information on it. Keeps my name and phone number out there. There are many different ideas you can come up with on how you can build your business, what you can send via email, what you can send via text, when you send those types of messages out. There is very, very good things that top producers are going to share with you on next week's call if you want to spend time with us on conference call number one next week. So with that, hopefully that gets you started on ratings, reviews, and referrals, and building out your plan and really thinking strategically. It has to be done strategically. Your competition, the ones that are doing a lot of transactions, they have thought strategically. They're the ones that read the books. They're the ones that have, in the slow times of real estate, have sat down and really itemized how they're going to do it and what they're going to do and what their ROI is. They're the ones that are doing that. And if you're not spending the time to build your business that way, then you're going to you shouldn't be expecting a lot of results, because then it's just going through the motions and it won't be a business that will last. You'll get in the business and you'll maybe do a few deals and then you maybe have to get out because you're not able to make enough money to really get you to that level where the money is exciting and it pays your bills and it makes sense to be in real estate. So I don't mean to be blunt and to the point, but actually I do. There are many of you who have so much potential and you just need to organize yourself, sit down with a piece of paper and maybe involve some other members or family or friends in building out your business and how you're going to do it. And if you're welcome to always come into the office and block out some time, and I'd be happy to go through and help you in creating a plan that makes sense. So take that to heart, and hopefully you guys have some ideas you picked up from tonight's call. We'll talk to you again next Monday, same time, same place. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.